This is the Sunday morning Sunday school lesson review for this, the 29th day of January, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2012. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I thank you for being with me today for the Sunday school lesson review. If this is your first time being with me in the Sunday morning Sunday school lesson review, you may want to know that we use, just as a guide, a scriptural guide, the Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary. We're using just as a scripture guide, which means that we follow their scriptures, but we do not follow their commentary. We hear, by the grace of God, the commentary is made as the Holy Spirit reveals it to me through the Word of God. However, we do follow the Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary, this particular publication for 2011-2012, the 60th annual volume based on the Pentecostal Charismatic Bible Lesson Series. Editorial staff, Lance Kolkmeyer, editor, Tammy Hatfield, editorial assistant, Terry Hart, general director of publications, lesson exposition writers, J. Ayodeji Aduwuya, Lance Kolkmeyer, Dale Coulter, Joe Daffy, Thomas Doolittle, Rodney Hodge, Joshua F. Rise, and Saborn Woods. This publication published by Pathway Press, Cleveland, Tennessee, USA. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father God, bless, I beseech thee, this service. Bless this review of the Sunday school lesson. Cause it, Father God, to be an encouragement, an enlightenment, a strengthening, and a faith builder for each and every listener. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. The scripture that the text is using for this date is found in Jude, verses 1 through 25. Jude, verses 1 through 25, and that constitutes the entire book of Jude. And they actually use the topic or subject, stay with the faith. That's what they use. Let's read now Jude, verses 1 through 25, the entire book of Jude. Jude, verses 1 through 25, the entire book of Jude. And if you're not familiar with Jude, Jude is the book that is next to the last book in the Holy Bible. The last book is Revelation, and the book immediately preceding Revelation is Jude. And so let us read now, beginning at Jude verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in adoration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Thus readeth Jude, verses 1 through 25. The Lord be praised for the beauty and blessedness and instructiveness and truthfulness of Jude. Wonderful, wonderful 25 verses. Theologians have intimated that Jude is the brother of Jesus Christ in the flesh, and it appears that at least Mark and Matthew indicate as much in their writing by the way Jude is presented with the connection to James in particular. Verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. This is a whole Sunday school lesson itself. This verse 1, this salutation, this introductory verse or paragraph or sentence, Jude, that's his name, the servant of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful way to introduce oneself. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful way for me to introduce myself. Clarence, the servant of Jesus Christ. Clarence, the servant of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful way for you to introduce yourself. John, the servant of Jesus Christ. Mary, the servant of Jesus Christ. William, the servant of Jesus Christ. Nelson, the servant of Jesus Christ. Cassandra, the servant of Jesus Christ. Vivian, the servant of Jesus Christ. Helen, the servant of Jesus Christ. Carol, the servant of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful way to introduce oneself. First five words, first six words, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Live so that you can introduce yourself thusly, and people will not laugh or snicker at what you say. Live so that you can introduce yourself thusly, and people will fully, completely, wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, totally believe you by just saying your first name and the words, the servant of Jesus Christ. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God. He's identified as the brother of James, which is also in the Bible identified as being the brother, the fleshly, biological brother of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Now, this is a mouthful. This is an earful. To them that are sanctified by God the Father. And so if you are saved, you are sanctified, you are set apart from the world. The Holy Spirit of God is in you in a way that he's not in any other existence in the universe except God himself. The Holy Ghost is in you. You are sanctified. And so he writes and identifies those to whom his letter is addressed as those who are sanctified by God the Father. Now, who else can sanctify you any better, any greater, any fuller, any more completely than God the Father? If you are saved, you are sanctified by God the Father. And if you are not living that way, that causes question in your claim to salvation. But Jude addresses the Christians as those who are sanctified by God the Father, but not only that, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Now that which preserves you keeps you. Those of you who used to do canning, you know how you put up the items of food in your jars, and they are preserved based on the way you prepared them. If you are saved, you are preserved in Jesus Christ. And if you are not living as if you are sanctified and preserved, there is a spiritual problem in your life. So Jude brings these two great principles to those who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. And then he says, and called. We won't go with specificity into that. But sanctified, preserved, and called. Verse 2, he says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. When you find a Christian who doesn't want mercy for other Christians, that's a problem. When you find a Christian who doesn't want peace for other people, particularly for other Christians, that's a problem. When you find a Christian who doesn't want love for other Christians, that's a problem. And when you find a Christian who will not show mercy to other Christians, that's a problem. When you find a Christian who will not show and bring peace to other Christians, that's a problem. When you find a Christian who will not show and bring love to other Christians, that is a problem. But Jude doesn't have that problem. Jude doesn't have that problem. He says, mercy unto you and peace and love. And not only on those levels, but he says, be multiplied. That's the spirit of the Lord in a man. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied, be multiplied, be multiplied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what a true Christian wants for his brethren. Mercy, peace, love, and that it be magnified, that they be magnified. Some Christians will not give you anything, will not help you, will not consider you as a brother. There's something wrong with that Christian. That's where many people have gotten these days. We got the church, we are big, and we got money, and who are you? Where do you go to church? Who's your pastor? What kind of car do you drive? How much money do you all have? Those were not the considerations. When Jude wrote to the brethren, he said, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. I take note of people who name the name of the Lord. I take note when they just cast me aside as if I'm nothing, and yet they say they are Christians. The Spirit of God does not lead me to do that to people. The Spirit of God in me leads me to value everybody, you see. Jude, in his example here, in writing to the brethren, he recognizes them as sanctified by God the Father. Maybe that's the problem in current day, that we have so many people in the church who are not sanctified by God the Father and who are not preserved in Jesus Christ. And because they are not sanctified by God the Father and are not preserved in Jesus Christ, they don't see that sanctification and perseverance of being preserved in others because they just don't know it. And yet they are running churches. They are ruling over churches, but they've never been sanctified by God the Father. They've never been and are not preserved in Jesus Christ. And some these days won't even name Jesus Christ. How can you be preserved in Jesus Christ and yet afraid to name the name of Jesus? Afraid to call his name or want to say, well, we don't know, we don't think he did this or that. That is totally unchristian, and I'm afraid that we have some unchristian people running numerous churches today in the year 2012. the year 2012 as reckoned by our calendar. I test people not as a test, I just go by them, identify myself, and see how they respond to me. Do you know many appear to be intimidated? And I equate that intimidation with them knowing that they truly aren't saved, and their fear that I will find it out, and their fear that somehow they may lose their current positions or standings in the group of people that are in their church. But I find as I come in the name of Jesus, strong and with the power of God, many who appear to be intimidated, even as I seek to embrace them in the spirit of holiness, the spirit of the Lord. And so this is a problem that we have, and that's one reason that Jude wrote his book. He's writing to those who are indeed genuine, but he's going to tell them about some who are not. And so this is not new on planet Earth. It was occurring 2,000 years ago, so much so that Jude took pen by the unction and direction of the Holy Spirit and wrote it for us so we would know. And so it is not as if some strange thing is happening when those of us who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, when we are set at naught by those who are running current day Christian church congregations, and to them they act as if we are nothing. That's one reason why Jude wrote this. It's important for us to understand that there are many false prophets out there. The church is a lucrative way to, you know, the church congregation to get money. For someone, particularly someone who's a crook, is a good way to get position in the community. It's a good way to get elected to something. People do it for many reasons. But when you come, they will not receive you. And in actuality, it is not that they're not receiving you. They are rejecting the Spirit of God that is in you. They are rejecting the Spirit of God that is in me. So don't get mad. Just make a mental note that something is wrong in that church. That's what I do. I go, I sit, and when I find that the Spirit of God is not there, that the brethren do not welcome me, I make a mental note. Something is wrong in that church. And there are a lot of churches where something is wrong. There are a lot of churches where something is wrong. Going now to Jude, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This Christianity has not been delivered in many different versions. It was once delivered unto the saints. What we have is the authentic word of God. But people have come in for 2,000 years and tried to change it, tried to twist it and tweak it their way. But Jude here in Jude verse 3, calling his brethren beloved, meaning that you are the ones who truly are saved. You are the ones who truly are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. There is no question as to whom Jude, the brother of Jesus, is addressing his letter. He's addressing it to those of us who are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. We are the beloved. That's to whom he's addressing his letter. And what does he tell us in verse 3? He said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. We all have it. We all, we're in the church. One church, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. One is the common salvation. These other things that people are trying to make Christianity into, they're all false and fake. The salvation that we have is totally based on the Word of God as found in the Holy Bible. That's why, my friends, if you listen to me 24/7, you will get healthy portions of the Word of God. I plan it that way. God wants it that way because His Word is perfect. His Word is so much better than my Word. His Word is so much better than my philosophy. And so it's this common salvation. It has not changed. But 2,000 years ago, Jude said to those who are the beloved, he was writing for them because he said it was needful, it was necessary, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly, this thing is serious, and if we should earnestly contend for the faith, then most assuredly we should earnestly contend for the faith now. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. What faith? For the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's the same faith today. Has not changed one bit. Has not changed one iota. God delivered it, and we still have it. And this admonition and this exhortation of Jude is still just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. Those of you who are running around afraid to name the name of Jesus, those of you who have been threatened by Satan and you have bowed to his threats and you no longer in public name Jesus, you see, you're wrong. We must earnestly contend for the faith. We must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's your job. That's your marching orders. That's my marching orders. That's why you are hearing me today. Because by giving you the Word of God, I am earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude, verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, they were doing that, and today, they are still doing that. Certain men who've crept into the church unawares, pretending to be Christian, and who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. There are in the church ungodly men. Someone who says that it's okay for you to live together and not be married, that's an ungodly man. Somebody who says that it is okay for you to intimate or be intimate with someone of the same sex in a sexual way, that's an ungodly man. Somebody who says it's okay for you to have as many women as you want other than your wife, that's an ungodly man. Somebody who says it's okay for you to have as many husbands as you want beside your husband, that's an ungodly man. Or even if she says it's okay to have one other or two other, that's an ungodly man. They were there in the church congregation 2,000 years ago. I'm afraid that many of them are running the church now, and in many cases, not in every case, but I'm afraid in many cases they're running the church. Why, Reverend? Because in our day, they are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They will say, well, the Lord understands, and this whole Christian thing is about love. Just love everybody, and you'll be all right. Do whatever you want to do, as long as you don't really hurt anybody in a violent way, like shoot or cut or kill them. And God understands. So it's all about love. It's all good. That is part of this charge here that Jude makes about some people who lived 2,000 years ago, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Again, and going out, getting drunk, and partying it up, and then coming to church and saying, we're holy. These are people who go out on Saturday night to Satan's dance floor and dance up a storm, and then come in on Sunday and say, hallelujah. And some of them will say, I'm going to go out and have a good time tonight. That's on Saturday. And then I'm going to church tomorrow morning, and I'm going to, any sin I've done, the Lord is going to forgive me. You're playing with God. You think God is foolish. You think God is foolish. You think that you're fooling God. Actually, you don't really believe in God, and you don't know who he is. Because, you see, when you play with God like that, that shows your idiocy. I'm sorry. When you play with God like that, that shows your utter idiocy concerning things spiritually, things spiritual, and particularly, it shows your utter idiocy concerning the nature of Almighty God. And I'm not trying to be mean to you, but someone needs to bring you to a realization that you are playing with God, and that more than likely you are not sanctified by God the Father, you are not preserved in Jesus Christ, and you're not called. And you can change right now. You need to see yourself for who you are. You see, Satan has sent a support group to you, and you are having a good time because they are supporting you because they are doing the same thing. That's not God's support group. That's Satan's support group. And many of them in your support group know that what you're doing is wrong. And they laugh among themselves. Oh, yeah, well, she's at church now. Ha, 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 ha. But we'll have her next week, child. As soon as you get out of church, you're back. You're on the phone telling all kinds of jokes and laughing. And you think you have the best of both worlds. You're in church and you assist so-and-so in church. But during the week, you're with the devil's crowd and they're supporting you. But you are enjoying your life. And you think those of us who are living for the Lord and keeping ourselves from idols and from sin, you think we're stupid, that we're letting life pass us by. And you would say to us, oh, get a life. Oh, get a life. Oh, get over it. Oh, I've heard people say, you know, they've told me that. Oh, get over that. The Lord doesn't care about that. Well, Jude doesn't say that. Jude says in verse 4, for they are ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who denies Jesus Christ, you know right away, Satan is working with that person, because that's what Satan wants. He wants us to deny. How can you be a Christian, which comes from the word Christ, and deny Jesus Christ? I mean, how foolish, my friend. How foolish are you? How can you be a Christian and deny Jesus Christ? I mean, that is just idiocy. I'm sorry. That is just idiocy. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Jude is very clear. God destroys unbelievers. So you can sit on the fence and laugh and say, I don't believe in that God. That doesn't make sense. Jude said God destroyed the unbelievers. And if we look in the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and particularly the last 3, you will see where God destroyed people because they did not believe. So unbelief can bring your destruction. On the other hand, there is salvation and safety in belief. So those of you who truly are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ also know that there is safety. There is safety in belief, in believing in God. It is not just some abstract thing, but there is great benefit in believing in Almighty God. Going now to the next verse. Verse 6, Jude, now to drive home his point, tells them about what God did to angels. Now in verse 5, he tells them, us, about what God did to men on earth, men and women on earth who did not believe and who rebelled against him. Now he takes a step higher and talks about angels. Listen here in verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. See, God gave them their habitation. It was theirs, but they left it. And some of you have left what God gave you. And the angels which kept not, some of you have kept not those blessed positions, those blessings that God has given you. But you left your own habitation. You left your own habitation. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. They owned it. It was theirs. God gave it to them, but left their own habitations. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. That's angels, my friends. Angels, don't play with God. Don't play with God. Some of you have played with God most of your lives. Most of your life. Some of you played with God. But one day, and you call it luck, you know, you say you've been lucky. One day, what you call luck can run out. If you don't come to Jesus, one day it will run out. And it could be sooner than you think. It could be sooner than you think. You need to bow on your face, on your knees right now, and cry out to Almighty God until he sanctifies you and preserves you. You need to cry out unto Almighty God until you are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Hallelujah. You need to cry out, cry out, cry out, cry out. Father, I've played with you. Father, I've done my own thing when I should have done what you wanted me to do. Father, I left my own habitation. I left my first estate, which you gave me. Father, I have been disobedient. Father, I have rebelled against you. Father, I kept not my first estate. Father, I left my own habitation. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me in the name of God the Father. Forgive me in the name of God the Son. Forgive me in the name of God the blessed Holy Ghost. But most of all, forgive me in the precious, matchless name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. You need to cry out to him, my friend. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Verse 7 says, it talks now about Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So we know what happened to those people in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, who were practicing fornication and going after strange flesh, practicing homosexuality, We know what happened to them. Jude, the brother of Jesus, says they are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That is hell. When you do those things and do not repent, God sends you to hell. And so if anybody ever wanted to know, well, what happened to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain? This tells you very plainly, the brother of Jesus Christ tells you very plainly what happened to the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain who did not get out. It says here in Jude chapter 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. This is no plaything, my friend. You may have said, well, I don't know in the Bible. Well, Jude makes it very clear. You do those things that they did in Sodom, and you go to hell. You do those things that they did in Sodom, and you go to hell. Some of you are doing right now those things that they did in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, and you are doing those things, and just like them, you are going to hell unless you repent, and you have the opportunity right now to repent. You have the opportunity right now. You say, well, Reverend, I've been in a homosexual gay marriage for 30 years. We are committed to each other. How can I repent? Get out of it. Break it. Break it and do it now. I don't know. I gave my word. Well, do you want to go to hell with that person to whom you gave your word? To that committed person that you're committed to? It's your choice. God commands you to repent. While you may choose, and God has given you, he doesn't even give you the choice. He gives you the command. But if you decide to choose to not do his command, then you will go to hell. I don't believe that, Paige. I think you got it wrong. Well, my friend, if you are saying that I've got it wrong, you're also saying that the blood brother of Jesus Christ got it wrong. You are saying that Jude got it wrong. Let me read it once again for you. Jude, the brother of James. Let me read once again what Jude, the brother of Jesus Christ, said. Even, this is Jude verse 7. Get your Bible. You see, you like to accuse us of those old preachers preaching hell and hellfire and brimstone, and they preach this and they preach that. That ain't in the Bible. Well, get your Bible. I recommend the King James Version because you might pick up the devil's version. And if you pick up the devil's version, it might not be in there. Which version is the devil's version, Reverend? Whatever version that gets away from the Word of God. Whatever version that gets away from the Word of the common salvation that was once delivered unto the saints. That's the devil's version. Or at least the devil's influence version. Even if some of God's people may have been involved with it. And once they got away from the word of God, that was the influence of Satan. Jude, verse 7, for those of you who don't believe that if you're practicing homosexuality, that you're on the way to hell. If you don't believe that, Jude lays it out without question. Jude verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You say, well, I go to a church and the preacher says, this is all right. Well, you have a choice. You can trust that preacher, or you can trust the word of God. You can trust that preacher, or you can trust Jude, the word of God in Jude, verse 7. That's your choice. Though God does not give you the choice, God gives you a command. God commands all men everywhere to repent. That includes women, boys, and girls, whoever is sinning. God commands you to repent. So you can play, you know, fast-footed and, I don't believe this mess. There are many who won't, but that is why God has to have a hell. You see, some of you like to criticize God for his hell. He has to have a hell because he's not going to let you disobedient, unrepentant people come to heaven and mess up his heaven. That's why the angels who kept not their first estate but left their own habitation had to be kicked out of heaven and reserved in chains. Because God is not going to let anybody mess up heaven. And if you go with your current philosophy and your current spiritual state, you too would mess up heaven. God has already taken care of that. So you can believe the word of God, or you can believe your false preachers. I'm not telling you to believe them. I'm telling you that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Everywhere. That is a where. If you are there in anywhere that is a where, God commands you to repent. That's my message. That's why you're hearing me. That's why I struggle to put this gospel where men and women around the world can get it. Ye are without excuse. Oh, you may not like my voice. You may think, well, he can't preach. I'm trying to bring you to the truth of God in the Holy Bible. Looking now at verse 8 of Jude, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. In God's economy, what God has done is done. And we have to be careful. You see, Satan was the anointed cherub. The Bible talks about touching God's anointed. You need to be careful when you mess with me. I'm God's anointed. But not only me, according to Jude, we need to be careful when we mess with Satan. In other words, we don't go curse Satan out. Now, he makes me so mad sometimes. Were it not for these verses, and if I could curse, I would give him every word I knew. But you see, the Lord says you can't do that. The Lord says even Michael, the archangel. I mean, you don't get much higher than that now in God's economy. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Apparently, Satan was trying to take the body of Moses. That devil is a stealing. I don't want to call him the wrong kind of name, but he's a stealing somebody. He's a taking somebody. And he has some people on planet Earth who are just like him because he's in them. They will steal, take. They will take from you, steal from you, rob you, kill you, destroy you if they can. He was trying to apparently take the body of Moses. Apparently, God had to send Michael the archangel. And he had to bring the power of God against the devil to make him back off. And that's what you need to do. When the devil is trying to take from you, you need to get God involved. And say, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Michael knew exactly what to say. The devil apparently has some strength too. When an angel has got to bring God in the picture, sure enough, you need to bring God in the picture. When an angel is struggling and disputing with the devil, and he has to reach back and say, Lord, come get this devil. And so the angel said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Christians, those of you who are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. You need to know how to fight this devil. Not with guns and knives and cussing words. Not with your fists. Not with sticks and staves and whatever you can get. Not with lasers. But with the power of God. Michael said, "The Lord rebuke thee." He didn't curse him out, or as some of you say, cuss him out. He makes us mad. He does a lot of things about us, against us. But Michael's example is we can't curse him out. The best thing we can do is follow Michael's exact example and say to Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee." My friends, I hope you're taking this in. This can make a big difference in your life. These procedures that you're getting, not only in this sermon, but as you listen to my other ministries, they will help you be victorious as a Christian. They will help you be victorious. Verse 10 of the book of Jude, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." So these are people who just talk out of their head. They have their own philosophies. Whatever comes up, comes out. You've got to be careful. God is watching. God is evaluating. And God is active. Some of you don't believe God is active. "Oh, I can do what I want. Doesn't matter." God is active. Verse 11. Jude says, "Woe unto them. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." You need to read in Genesis, the account of Cain. Sin was lurking at his door. And for many of you, sin is crouching at your door. And that's why you're doing the ungodly things that you're doing, because sin is crouching at your door. Jude says, "And ran greedily after the error of Balaam." Balak, I believe it was, went to get Balaam and said, "Come curse me, Israel." Prophet ended up saying, "Whom God has blessed, who can curse?" Some of you, you are threatened by the presence of God's people. Balak, I believe his name was threatened by, in his mind, he was threatened by the presence of God's people, and he went to get somebody to come curse God's people. You see, my friend, you need to get saved. If you are not sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, you're not saved. It's a simple. When I came up and shook the preacher's hand, yes, and you went on back doing the same thing you were doing, and you never submitted yourself unto God, you never allowed the Holy Spirit to save you, and you need to be saved. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. These are just unfruitful people, never alive. Unfruitful, ungodly people, pretenders, clouds without water. Wonderful, wonderful phraseology here that Jude is using. These are spots in your feasts of charity. They are spots, spots. They are spots in your church. That's why they are saying it's all right to do homosexual activity. That's why they are saying it's all right to live together, man and wife, and not be married. They're spots. 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 In your feast of charity. They feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, leading you wrongly, my friend. He says they are clouds. Clouds they are without water. What is a cloud without a water? It's just an illusion. It's fake. clouds they are. These people who preach and tell you you can do these ungodly things and just love everybody, it's all right. Clouds they are without water. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. The winds of philosophy. The winds of homosexuality. The winds of diversity. The winds of plurality. The winds of secularism. The winds of humanism. The winds of witchcraft. The winds of all kinds of ungodliness. The winds of scientific wrongness by saying there is no God, or by saying that God did not create the heaven and the earth, by saying that the Bible is not the authentic word of God. Clouds they are. Clouds they are without water. Clouds they are without water. Well, he preaches good, but if he's not preaching the word of God, he's just a cloud without water. And you are sitting there, and you are paying him, and you are rejoicing, and this cloud without water is telling you to support homosexual activity, telling you to support abortion, telling you to support liquor and getting drunk, telling you to support the lottery, telling you it's all right. Clouds they are without water. Clouds they are without water. Carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth. What you get from them is already withered because it is not of God and is not going to nourish you spiritually. If you were strong enough, you should be able to see that. Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. A-L-L. The false prophets have told you. Some of them have told you, don't worry about it. God understands. But Enoch prophesied that he will execute judgment upon A-L-L, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, A-L-L, their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all, A-L-L, their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. See, whenever they speak against the word of God, you know right away, but God's judgment upon all will come, will come, will come. You are a part of the all, and so you will not escape unless you repent. And you are to do that right now. You are to get on your knees and repent and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me. I am wrong. I have been wrong, but I want to be right. Lord God, sanctify me and preserve me in Jesus Christ. I want to be a saint right now, right now, right now. I want to be a saint right now. Lord, have mercy on me. Jude goes on in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You see, when you bring the word of God and they don't want to hear it, I don't know why he preached on that. We don't need that in here. Ain't nobody doing that in here. Well, why are you worrying about it then if nobody is doing it? I don't know why he's always preaching on this and that. I wish he'd preach on love. You see, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. That's why they're complaining. They are doing and are supporting those things. They have taken in the ungodly philosophies of those who are not of God, and they don't want God's word to come in as competition to the ungodly stuff they have established in that church congregation. I don't know why that old preacher, I don't know why you had him come in here. We ain't had nobody preach about hell. I don't know. That's going to discourage people. Why won't he preach a positive sermon? They do not want the full counsel of God. Whenever you find someone who does not want the full counsel of God, that person has a spiritual problem. I've seen it, and I see it very often now as I move around. Christians, people who call themselves Christians, many of them, quote unquote, Christians, don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about the cross. They don't want to hear about the crucifixion. They don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about fornication. They don't want to hear about homosexual activity. They don't want you to mention it because the devil has captured them. And they're in captivity and bondage to the philosophies of Satan. Thus, it says here, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. And my friends, I want you Christians, you need to listen to me. You may not think I'm that wise, but I do a lot. I move a lot in the secular area. I do a lot of things with people who are secular because a lot of times I'm required to do that in terms of interact with people. I do not do their sin, but I read what they write. And let me tell you, many of your children are being educated against the Word of God. Now, you may not listen a lot to Pastor Clarence William Page, but you do need to listen to me because some of you are ignorant to what's going on in this world. Satan's people have conspired to write books which are in total opposition to the Word of God. Satan's people have conspired to write books which are in total opposition to the Word of God. You are sending your children to school. You are paying for them to get educated. And in those books, they have been told that it's all right to do homosexual activity. And not only in the elementary schools. In colleges, a lot of people have to use what's called the APA. I think it's the American Psychological Association. They put out manuals, and when you write a paper or do a dissertation, you have to go exactly by the APA manual or some other manual. Well, I've read those manuals, and those manuals contain information that is directly in opposition of the Word of God. And you don't know this because you have not read them. That's why you say, well, Paige, what does he know? Well, apparently, if you did not know that, I know a lot more than you know. And I'm not being mean to you. I'm just trying to wake you up. The APA, in its APA manual, embraces homosexual activity. In the wording that it has, it embraces homosexual activity. In your schools, many of the books specifically embrace homosexual activity. Men being sexually intimate with men. Boys being intimate with boys in a sexual way. Girls being intimate with girls in a sexual way. Women being intimate with women in a sexual way. That is absolutely and totally against the Word of God. And so we have come to a point in the year 2012 where people who think they are educated have been educated against the Word of God, and when they come to church or even they say they're in church because they believe the degrees that they have are on solid foundation. They believe that what they have is true and right, and when the word of God contradicts it, they have a hard time coming from what they've been taught by the professors and by their teachers to coming to the word of God, and they just see that the word of God, they believe the word of God is wrong. That is by design. That is the complicity. That is the conspiracy of the 20th century, particularly the latter part of the 20th century, and now this first part of the 21st century. I see it all the time. I recognize it because I am sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, you may not recognize it, but I'm telling you. And now, and then you want to know, well, I don't know why my children are going that way. And then some of you are so unsaved that your children will come home from college or from school with those ungodly philosophies, and they convince you to follow them. So you said you were a Christian, you said you were following God, and now your children have come home from those ungodly universities and those ungodly schools, and they have convinced you. Satan has now captured you. Satan has now conquered you. The world is in dire shape because Satan has published lies in many academic books, as he has published lies in the APA manual. I have read them. I know a lie of Satan when I see it. How do you know it, Reverend? Because I am sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, there are other manuals, style manuals, that schools could use. But you see, the APA appears to have cornered the market academically. And so people say, well, get the APA manual. It must be by the APA manual. And people feel they go and get it. That's what the professor said. And then they get a good grade. They get their doctorate. And then they go forward to expound on these lies that Satan's people have conspired to put in them. It's a sad situation. And then Satan knows that by getting so many of them to accept those lies then become the norm on planet Earth. And Satan is having a field day. But I stand to tell you, this is what not only is happening, this is what has happened. It has already happened. The conspiracy has already birthed and is in full bloom. That's why our world is in the condition it is. And it's going to get worse unless the church gets better. Unless the church rises up and contends for the faith. That's what Jude is saying here. They understood that Satan was going to do this. And he tells us, he exhorts us to earnestly contend for the faith. You ought to take this message, you ought to download this message, and you ought to send it to everybody that you can send it to. You ought to bring people to listen to me. Why? Because I give you the word of God. If I'm lying to you in giving you the word of God, then you're calling God a lie. You see what I've done here? I've gone right down the verses of Jude. How many other ministers do that for you? Write down the verses of Jude, going verse to verse to verse. How many of them read one or two verses and then go way off into all kinds of philosophy? But I stay with the word of God. And this is what is happening. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the apostles' words. That's what you come back to, not what your children learn in high school, elementary school, or college. No, you come to the Word of God and stand on it no matter what your children says, no matter what your husband says, no matter what your wife says, no matter what your daddy says, no matter what your mama says, no matter what your preacher says, stand on the Word of God. Why? Because here Jude said, but beloved, in verse 17, but beloved, remember ye. Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I preach as I do. Because I present to you the Word of God. It does not matter to me what you think about me. All that matters is that you hear the Word. And if you don't like His Word, then you better look Him up and talk to Him about it. But I want to warn you, you be careful how you approach God. You be careful how you approach Almighty God. Paul said, our God is a consuming fire. Now, you don't want to approach God wrongly. Now, you can be foolish if you want to. If you don't like the Word of God, look Him up. But I advise you to approach Him with great care. With great care and humility. Because He can say to your heart, stop beating. He can say to your lungs, stop breathing. And you can't do a thing about it. And you'll enter hell before you talk to Him. So you better, I would advise you, my friend, to be careful how you approach Almighty God. Be careful how you approach Almighty God. Jude says in verse 18, how that, he tells you, here's what you remember. Remember how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. That's what these people are doing. They're walking after their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. We are in a very sensual world now. Sex and sensuality are prevalent and pervasive. In the media, particularly the movies and television, and on the internet where you have the cable movies. Sensuality. You see, that's whenever you see that kind of stuff, that is of Satan. Whenever you see people in the public dwelling on sex, that is Satan's work. That's not God. God is about holiness in marriage. All the rest of that sex stuff is the devil's mess. And you sit and you watch it on TV, you allow yourself to take it in, and you say you're a Christian. You say you're saved. But how can a person who is sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ sit and take in that mess and laugh at that mess? How can you do that? My friend, you have a problem. You have a problem. Jude says in verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, I don't know if I can say it. I don't think I can say it any better. Jude verses 20 and 21, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We're still to minister and do what we can to save people. Do what we can to rescue people. Have compassion on some, others we use fear. We use fear. Let them know you're on your way to hell. You better change right now. You could die tomorrow. You could die next minute. You better come to God. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I'm trying to pull you out of the fire. If you are unsaved, you're already in the fire. You just haven't, your life, the life hasn't gone out of your body yet. Hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Then he gives this great benediction which we've adopted in the church. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. This has been the review of the Sunday school lesson for this, the 29th day of January, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2012, as reckoned by our calendar. You are listening to Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page. The Lord bless you.